Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. My name is Tressa Candler, and if I have not gotten the pleasure to meet you, you can find me mostly one of two places, either in what I like to call the production wife seat, which is the seat right back there that has absolutely no tech to do with it. It is actually blocked now by the camera, thank the Lord. But if you haven't seen me, that's probably where I'm hiding, either there or in Vine Kids, so you either see me hiding behind the camera, not where I'm at today, or wrangling a child somewhere, whether it be mine or somebody else's. I'm kind of more of an OG Vine Church. Way back when Thursday night Bible study first became a thing. Whenever it was first, it was actually in Londonderry, at a house over there, and at a rental house. But if you notice, I missed lunch. I wasn't here for lunch. I wasn't here for first anniversary, second, really up until fourth. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So a quick disclaimer before we get too far in. This story is not about Sophia's father. He is not involved in this story. I know that in this day and age, anything that I say here, she will eventually be able to go back and watch. And I do not want that to be a question in her mind. So there you go. October 29th, 2022, last year we were doing or in or about to start, whatever that looked like, Stranger Stories. And I told Zachary that there was absolutely no way I would ever do this, that this was not anything that I was going to do. It's not what I was going to be about. It just was not going to happen. And the next day, actually, the very next day, I started writing my story. Because it's funny how whenever you say, I absolutely won't, there's no chance, God kind of steps in and says, hey, surprise. And if there's anything that I've learned in the last bit of my life, it's that when it makes no sense, I just have to trust him. And especially whenever it absolutely terrifies me, I have to trust him. So a little bit of more backstory. I did not grow up in South Carolina. If there is a team day, a college day, I am blue and gold all through and through. I grew up in the hollers of West Virginia. Loved it. I grew up with my mom and my dad, my mom and my brother, and my grandfather and my grandmother, my mom's parents. And if you ask any of my cousins, there was not a favorite grandchild. But we all know the truth. I came along at a time in my grandfather's life that shortly before I was born, he lost his daughter. His daughter passed in a car accident. She was a lot to him. And his world just kind of stopped. And I was the next baby born, the last baby born, and a little girl born right after his little girl passed. And I very quickly moved in into his house. And so he was my everything. And to be quite honest, I think I was a little bit of his. So I had everything. I was very protected. I was very taken care of, all of these things. And he was the closest thing to dad to me. So he was my papa. He said whenever I was getting ready to go off to college that I could not go to WVU. I could not go that far. It was about a five-hour drive. I was not allowed to go because he had to get to me and back home to be in his bed every night in case something were to ever happen to me. He needed to get there. And at 21, I was 21 years old, and it was in the summer right before what should have been my senior year of college, and he started not feeling great. We went to the doctor, and from that point on, we had multiple surgeries, three different hospitals, stage 4 lung cancer that had spread, and I had less than 3 months left with him. So September 22nd, 2012, I lost the only father I'd ever known. I knew what it was like to search for a dad when I was younger, before I realized he was everything. I knew what it was like to crave love and security and to be protected. And I had all of that in my papa, and then I very quickly didn't anymore. So we're going to fast forward. I'm living in South Carolina, a little bit of West Virginia too. I was freshly separated, freshly divorced, precious little girl. And I had never been more alone in my life. Growing up, I was, you know, one house back and forth. All of our family houses were kind of right beside each other. And I had always had family very, very close. And to go from that to it just being really the two of us, that was really hard. I truly thought in those moments, I truly thought that the Lord had just stopped hearing me, that he had forgotten me, that I wanted all of these things. I wanted to find the protector. I wanted to find someone to, you know, just step in and take over that role. And it just doesn't happen when you're looking in the wrong place. There comes a point when you start hearing someone say, I'm trying to protect you, I'm trying to protect your daughter, and it sounds like everything you've wanted, everything that you've asked for, until you realize that the person telling you those things turns out to be the person that you need the most protection from. In that time between Thursday night Bible study and all of this going on, I'd walked away from church. I stopped searching for love and protection from the one who could provide it best. I stepped out. I left absolutely no trace, no forwarding address, no nothing. I would visit a church and kind of pop in, pop out, just enough to say, oh, I'm going, but there was no connection, no absolute anything to say that that was my church. But I still knew who Jesus was. I still had that foundation laid from my childhood and from my family. I still wanted Jesus, but I did nothing, absolutely nothing. I didn't walk in him. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't ask from him. I didn't seek him. Like I said, I was seeking the wrong thing. I was looking in the wrong places, and what I found was an absolute nightmare waiting to happen. I found a man who claimed all he wanted was to protect me and protect my girl, who claimed to love Jesus and wanted to follow him. And he had a way with words that can make you feel like you're the best, most amazing person in the whole world. And very quickly it changed. Very quickly I learned firsthand the way an abuser can manipulate the situation and latch on. While I had stopped walking in him, soon I started hearing about him in ways that I hadn't before. I was told by this man over and over how the Lord was disgusted with me. I heard scripture to back up every statement. And I heard just enough to believe every word. Every bruise felt deserved. Every dollar felt justified that was taken. Every lost friend that I had felt like they were so much better off to not have to deal with any of the things. For far too long, I believed that I wasn't worth love from anyone, especially not from God. Not from the one man that I grew up hearing how he loved me so much that he would send his son to die for me. I had failed him. I wasn't worth anything to him until that belief started to crack. There was a day that I felt like it would never end. It started way too early, and I was terrified for how it could have ended. Somewhere in the mix of it all, while up to that point, there was a little bit of, the physical, but it was mostly emotional, mental, all of that. But at some point that day, between a flip-flop to the face and being choked, I did not know how it would end. On and off that day, I was waiting, praying, pleading, just waiting on something to happen. Lord, you're going to have to end this one way or the other. I pulled out my Bible and I searched for the first time in a very long time. I turned on DirecTV and found the first sermon that I could. And it was an absolutely old school Billy Graham. And I thought, whatever, I'll give it a shot at this point because it's not working. And he actually spoke about knowing what God saved you from. And it broke me. It absolutely broke me. I was saved as a child, and that's a whole different other story. But I was saved as a child, and I was so naive. You know, I didn't know what Jesus had truly saved me from. I didn't know what that looked like. I just knew it as a six-year-old in church, getting baptized because I learned how to swim. Like, it wasn't a relationship that was had. I didn't know what he saved me from until I did. Until I realized that in that moment, he had never left. He had never stopped listening to me. He was still listening. It was me that wasn't listening to him. And it wasn't an instant fix. Don't take that wrong. Nothing automatically stopped. I just had hope. I had peace. And I fully believed that God loved me, and he had been there the whole time. He was just waiting on me to turn to him. And at that point, I would come back to South Carolina, come a little back and forth, and I would go inside my house, and I would try to make it look like I wasn't there. And that was really, really hard, especially at the time because I had a dog, and he would not allow me to stay inside the whole time. But there was one place that I was going to show up every time that I came down, and it was here. Even still, there was that hold, that control. And I would cry out to God, and I would ask, why are these things still happening? What can I do? Why can't I escape? Even the small, tiniest hold that was had, why wouldn't it go away? Every number that I blocked, another number was created. Every fake profile that I ignored, all the things, it just kept going and kept going, and the attempt was there. But the closer that I got to Jesus, the closer that I walked with him, the less hold that the fear and the abuse had. The closer I got to him, the more I understood that the only one who could never fail, who would love and protect me at all costs, had already paid the price. He had already called me his and still did when I tried to hide. And he met me here time after time. Back there in the garden, I had a couple conversations, and I was asked, what's it going to take? What's it going to take to get you back down here? And I truly did not have any plans to move back to South Carolina. Absolutely not. There was no way that would ever happen. I had a job, and even moving forward, I had a better job that I loved with an amazing team, and I had no want to come back to South Carolina. But I heard God say, a little bit after that, still that same day, I heard him say, less than a year, you'll be back after winter. And it made no sense, and I honestly, like I said, I did not want to come back. I was teaching at a school for my South Carolina friends who understand. I was teaching at a school. I had a dedicated, non-duty, duty-free lunch, plus a planning, and I had 12 children on my roster. Looking now with a duty lunch and 23, yeah, there was no reason that I wanted to come back. But I never thought I'd be comfortable. I never thought I would be able to come down to South Carolina and feel safe. That was just absolutely impossible. But I heard it. And I didn't know what to do with that. And I told T, because I needed somebody to know, hey, if I'm absolutely crazy, let me know. But less than a year later, I found myself not only back in South Carolina, but surrounded by a group of people that pray for me daily, that I get to do life with, and I get to laugh with, and I get to feel safe with. And my little girl has fine kids. She has Uncle T. She has an entire church army to rally around her as she grows. And if you know any of my story, you know he also quickly gave us an entire family. My girl is loved beyond measure in more than one state and got a whole side, a new side of the family to grow with. He gave me a husband who would do whatever it takes to protect his girls. And through all my fears, Jesus has made a way. I heard time after time after time after time, nobody will ever love you or want you the way that I do. And honestly, I've never been more thankful that that statement is true. I have a husband who would never dream of laying a hand on me, who prays for me and encourages me, and we both fully admit all of our relationship is through him and him alone. And if you know anything, you know that that is a true statement. And I'm still a work in progress. Don't take this wrong. Like, it wasn't, oh, there was enlightenment and everything is perfect. Absolutely not. I still have really bad anxiety. I still have a little bit of PTSD. I have nightmares. Bless his heart, Zach has to be very careful when he wakes me up at night. And I think he definitely does well with that, but it's still a very recurring theme, and especially since I agreed to do this. And sometimes I get nervous about big events and being in certain places and trying to figure out where I'm safe and where I'm not, but God hasn't failed, and he won't. So like Pastor T said time and time again, Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to be abused. It's not how he imagined things. If you're walking in that right now, it's not your fault. I'm not telling you just to turn to Jesus and it all goes away. I can't say that. But I am saying that he will help you in ways that only he can. And if you need help or you need somebody to talk to, we need to get that now. Because Jesus died to free you, and that includes freedom from abuse and abusers. Don't sit in that. But now I hold on strong to Exodus 14:14. And I did not send him scriptures, so sorry. So Exodus 14:14 says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." I'm out of the circle. I'm out of it. I'm not fighting that fight. It is not worth my time. It is not worth my effort. And it is not worth my energy. The Lord will fight for me if he needs to. And every time he does. I don't carry that battle on my own. I give it to him and he takes it. Stepping away from church is not how God designed us. At the Vine, we believe life change happens best in Christian community. God designed us to do life together. And in my personal experience, life kind of falls apart when you don't. And through it all, I can look back and I can see his hand in little moments protecting me from what could have been. I can see him refining me and drawing me closer to him and creating a more lasting relationship with him than I ever had. And because of that foundation, because of those things that were instilled in me as a child, because of that godly foundation that my family laid, as much as you run, it's still there. He doesn't leave. It doesn't leave. Because in high school, I found my favorite verse. My favorite verse ever. We were at BYF. Shout out to the old schools. We had BYF one Wednesday night, and we were talking about our favorite verse, and I was like, oh, I guess I probably should have one of those. And it made sense. It was important, but, you know, you're 15, 16. Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to be honest, that's a really long verse to have your favorite verse at 15. And let's be real. I paraphrase that a lot, a whole lot. But the magnitude of that verse, how heavy that it is, and how no matter what happens, no matter what I do, what I don't do, how I run, how I hide, the choices that I make, the bad decisions that I make, or the good decisions, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So whenever you try to fit it all in your little fanny pack, and carry it all on yourself, just know that Jesus has already taken it. He's already got it. No matter what you do, it's his. It's not ours. Thanks.
Now I have to follow that up. That's sorry. I came slowly because you needed to sink in the moment, right? You needed to take that in. First off, thank you, Tressa, for sharing your story. She has so many, man, she showed me all the pictures she was going to share. She had the crazy stuff I did, y'all. You would pray for me even more. See, the laugh, it tells it all. It tells it all. But what she shared today is the truth. As she was sharing her story, I mean, so many times in our story, we get afraid to share it, right? But when we do that, we're not letting Jesus redeem it. Every bit of it. And I can tell you the broken parts. Tressa's talking about the broken parts of her story that Christ is redeeming, has redeemed, and sharing it with others. And there's always someone that you're going to find that needs to hear that. And so today, hearing Tressa talk about her favorite verse, and there's nothing that can separate us from the Lord, it made me think of, you know, Joshua. When if you're in Joshua, you've ever read Joshua 1, he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And so wherever you are right now, maybe you're in a situation of abuse, be strong and courageous. God did not create you to be in abuse. God did not create you to make someone else make you believe that they are your Savior. Instead, he sent his Son to be the Savior for all of us. So wherever you are right now, maybe you're in a deep, dark place and it feels like you're in a cave. And I just want to tell you, if that's you and you're falling in love with shadows dancing on the wall and you think that there's never a way that you can go out there and this is the best it can ever be, I just want to say, consider Jesus. Because all of a sudden, when you don't fall in love with shadows dancing on the wall and think that where you are is the safest, deepest, darkest place is where you are, instead you step out of that cave and trust Jesus when he says, follow me, you'll see that that cave was nothing but a grave. And you'll walk away from the death of the empty tomb that sin had left us in. And so today, wherever you are, first and foremost, if you need help with abuse, please let us know. We would love to get you to the right space. But most importantly, we don't want you to live in the abuse of sin itself, because the wages of sin itself is death. Paul writes in Romans 10, verse 9 through 10, if you believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, it actually starts and says, if you profess with your mouth that Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Goes on to say, for it is with your heart that you are justified, and believe it is with your mouth you profess your faith, and you are saved. So today, wherever you are, if you know Christ, I want you to think this one moment right now. There's someone, as Tressa said in her family, there is someone that showed you Christ. Before you go, if they're still alive today, before you go to bed tonight, send them a text message. Write them a card. Tell them how thankful you are that Jesus worked through them to show you him. And maybe today, this is the day. You just heard Tressa's story. Through Tressa, Jesus is more clear to you than ever before. And I know that she would want you to do this, and she would want you to understand this, is that it's not only not going to be perfect when you trust Christ as Lord, but instead you get to experience peace. So today, would you consider Jesus? Why we do what we do each and every week is that. So if that's you today, I will tell you, we pray out loud as a family for the benefit of those coming to Christ for the first time. What we do is we're going to say a prayer. As Romans 10, 9 and 10 said, it's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith. It's the faith. And so if you are watching online or you are in the house today, would you repeat the words of this prayer out loud for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time? Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived a perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And if that's you, if you're in the house or you're watching online, and right now, for the first time, you have given your life to Christ. You have trusted him as your Lord and Savior. No longer are you held back from your past mistakes or future failures. No longer are that. You have put it all in the hands of Christ. And for the first time, you have prayed that prayer of faith and trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you on the count of three to raise your hand. One, two, three. If you're in the house, if you're online right now, if you're listening throughout the week, you can hit the raised hand emoji, or maybe you can do that. You're going to see a comment here in a moment that gives you a link, and it's to the vine.tv/respond. You can respond to the invitation that you received Christ for the first time. Maybe your next step is baptism. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. Would you please click that link, because that's what we would want to do, to celebrate that with you today. If you have given your life to Christ, we're not going to just celebrate you giving your life to Christ and say, you have to be a part of this church body. We would love to welcome you here, because there's a place for you, but there's also probably a place right down the road from you, and we would love to get you in touch with a local church near you. And for the rest of us, you can go ahead and look up and stand up, and we're going to get ready to worship. But I would just say today, as I said a moment ago, the tapestry that Jesus weaves together in our story is the most beautiful thing. And none of it's by accident. You know, so many times, have you ever seen somebody making at the loom? I know I'm getting old and I shouldn't know this, but have you ever seen somebody at a loom bringing a cover together, bringing a nice cover, an Afghan cover, if you will, together? They're doing that, and you can see they're weaving each piece together perfectly, and you just see one strand, but all of a sudden when you step back, it's multiple colors and it's beautiful, and that is the family of God. And so I would say you are a strand in the story God is writing. What he has given you is so important for you to share with the world searching for him as we once were. So as we go into this time of worship and we sing How Great Thou Art, would we really just thank Jesus for allowing us to be a part of God's story? We don't have to earn it, have to bring sacrifices, figure out the temple tax, figure out what festival it is, figure out if we got to go live in a tent. If you don't like camping, the Festival of Tabernacles you would hate because you sit outside in a shack for a week. He's the fulfillment of all of it. And that's what he's given us to share. So let's sing.
Joy. joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul.
So glad that you are here with us and hearing and reading this. And as Tressa shared today, the voice of God is something we may struggle to hear from time to time. If you have Vine kids or you're watching later throughout the week, they're actually learning about Elijah hearing the word of God. And what does it say? He wasn't in the thunder. He wasn't in the earthquakes. He's instead in the whisper. How sweet is that whisper? See, when we know that, then we can sing how great thou art is. As we were singing this there a moment ago, I think of eternity, how the choruses are going to ring and how all of a sudden my dog bark singing is going to be beautiful in the Lord's name. I won't have to really lip sing. It'll be great. So I say all that to say, there's probably someone the Lord's laid on your heart right now. Not only is the one who showed you Jesus, I ask you to reach out to, but before this week is over, that name that Jesus has given you, the Holy Spirit is prompting you right now. Be the love of Christ to them. Whatever they're going through this week, there's a name. I don't know what it is. I know the Holy Spirit's moving, and I'm not telling you to get him here next week. I'm saying you just be the hands and feet of Jesus and trust him to do what only he can do with it. And I promise you, a part of your story is going to be something that he's going to ask you to share. Put it in his hands, trust him with it, and we hope to see you back here next week, because I promise you, there's going to be zero calorie food. The sugar is blessed in Jesus' name. It is perfect for the angel wings that we'll be using to fly on. No thunder coming down. You're good. No lightning as we go. And we'd love to see your smiling face next week as we continue our Stranger Stories series, Sowers of the Vine TV. Always remember, the best is still yet to come.